now.
And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Bitcoin is currently trading at $3,874, down 7.5% in the last 24 hours. Ripple is currently trading at 35 cents. That's down 5%. We have Ethereum currently trading at $108, down 8%. Stellar currently trading at 14 cents, down 8%. And EOS currently trading $2.59, down 11% in the last 24 hours. I want to give a special shout out to Decentraland, currently trading at 6.5 cents. That's up 6% in the last 24 hours. They have outperformed the market massively within that 24-hour space. So let's talk about the market. The market cap's $125 billion. Bitcoin's dominance of that is 53.7%. The volume in the last 24 hours for the crypto space has been $13.8 billion traded in volume. So interesting, we're starting to see a depreciation in the volume figures over the weekend. Slightly is 2 billion off the high on the Friday. So listen, let's get down to business. Let's find out what's going down, what people are talking about, what you need to know. So with that in mind, let's get on to the next part of the show. There was a great piece out today called Get Ready for Crypto Sanctions Enforcement. So with that in mind, let's jump into it. So for the past year, the cryptocurrency industry's attention has focused on the Securities and Exchange Commission's deliberations over how to enforce US securities laws. But the past 2 months have seen important developments on a new regulatory front. The applications of US sanctions laws by the Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control, the OFAC. Last week, the OFAC sanctioned two Iranian individuals for cyber attacks against US networks. For the first time ever, OFAC targeted both the individuals who committed the offenses and their associated Bitcoin addresses. The OFAC is announcing a clear message to the industry. Comply with sanction laws or pay the price. Economic sanctions result from US government policy decisions with certain countries. Governments, individuals, or companies shouldn't be allowed to transact with US persons. The category of US persons is expansive. It includes US citizens and permanent residents anywhere in the world, non-US nationals within the United States, and entities incorporated under US law, as well as their foreign branches. The OFAC has broad authority to impose sanctions based on the perceived threats to US national security. The OFAC typically imposes primary sanctions by prohibiting US persons from directly or indirectly transacting with a sanctioned party, in addition to secondary sanctions based on a non-US person's transaction with other sanctioned parties. Some sanctions are nearly absolute, such as those prohibiting almost all transactions with countries like Iran, while other sanctions are nuanced, like those prohibiting certain transactions with Venezuela related to certain debt transactions. Sanctions violations are punishable as civil or criminal offenses and can result in steep fines. So, unlike many regulatory agencies, the OFAC doesn't impose formal compliance obligations. Instead, it oversees a strict liability regime. Even unintentional sanctions violations are punishable under law, no matter the time or resources a company devotes to compliance. That said, those with a strong compliance program will have better odds of convincing OFACs to take a lenient approach towards potential violations. To help companies build out their sanctions compliance programs, the OFAC has published a variety of policy statements, FAQs, brochures, advisories, and press releases. The OFAC also offers compliance suggestions for stakeholders in specific industries. For example, the OFAC advises companies involved in online commerce to develop a tailored risk-based compliance program, including the one of use sanctions list screening software. Similarly, the OFAC recommends the money transmitter block IP from sanctioned jurisdictions gather detailed customer identification information and a record a proposed payment for every transaction received and sent. So to fill the gaps left by its public statements, the OFAC engages in guidance by enforcement, detailing specific violations and the mitigating and aggravating factors that it considers in determining an appropriate fine. In 2015, for example, the OFAC announced a settlement for PayPal, approximately $44,000 in transactions that violated various sanction programs. The settlement described numerous compliance missteps, including PayPal's failure to screen account holders against sanction lists. It required PayPal to pay over $7 million for underscored to payment processors and money transmitters, the importance of compliance, even for relatively low value transactions. Jeez, $44,000 they calculate out of the billions of dollars of volume they do. $44,000 of that was not compliant with sanction rules. And that could have been anything from a small question that wasn't asked in the account opening procedure. It could be anything. And they were charged $7 million for that. So OFAC on crypto, this is where it gets interesting. While other US federal agencies have been commenting on the rise of for cryptocurrencies for years, the OFAC long remained silent despite requests for crypto industry stakeholders for clarity on US sanction laws. This year, the OFAC began to weigh in. In March, the OFAC responded to the Venezuela's government launch of its own cryptocurrency, the Petro, by prohibiting US persons from engaging in transactions with that asset. The OFAC also issued FAQs noting that US persons' sanctions obligations are the same regardless of whether a transaction is denominated in a digital currency or traditional fiat currency, and flagging that it may add cryptocurrency addresses to the sanctions list in the future. In October, in light of US government's decision to withdraw from the Iranian nuclear deal and reimpose certain sanctions against Iran, the Treasury Department issued an advisory warning businesses about Iran's efforts to fund illicit activities abroad. The advisory described the Iranian regime's practice of circumventing financial restrictions by transacting in precious metals, misusing exchange houses, counterfeiting currency, and transacting in virtual goods. In warning about the risk of cryptocurrency, advisory recommended specific compliance steps for crypto companies, including reviewing blockchain ledgers for activity that may originate or terminate in Iran, using software to monitor open blockchains, and screening customers against the sanctions list. The OFAC's recent actions illustrate the US government's renewed focus on stopping authoritarian regimes, Venezuela, Iran, North Korea, and others, from using cryptocurrencies to evade US sanctions. The crypto industry now finds itself caught in the middle of several different geopolitical conflicts. So what's next, and what should a crypto company do? First, take compliance seriously. As OFAC has noted, all the compliance obligations are the same regardless of whether a transaction involves digital fiat currency. Second, understand the risk, because the OFAC doesn't require specific compliance efforts. Companies aren't obligated to screen customers against the sanctions list or restrict user access in certain environments, but companies should know that if they ignore these risks at their own peril. Third, expect enforcement. The OFAC, like many other government agencies, provides guidance as part of publicizing its enforcement actions. It will be no surprise when the OFAC begins to bring enforcement actions in 2019 against those who transact in cryptocurrencies without representing US sanctions. Super interesting there, and it's interesting to see how developed these exchanges are that operate in the crypto space and if they are compliant with the OFAC laws. Because a lot of people have been kind of getting the plane up in the air and kind of fixing it while they're up there. A lot of people at the Binances of the world have taken that approach. So it's interesting to see what their stance is on this particular issue and what we're going to see regards to exchanges, if they're going to be closing and be shut down, how that's going to look and how that's going to operate. We've also had big news from the G20 summit. So leaders from the group of G20 nations reiterated their pledge to regulate crypto assets as part of the communique released Sunday after a meeting in Buenos Aires. In a declaration titled Building Consensus for Fair and Sustainable Development, the G20 participants committed to a number of measures to help grow the global economy. As in past meetings of group members, the document highlighted the cryptocurrencies as one area in need of greater regulation. We will regulate crypto assets for anti-money laundering and counterfeiting and financing of terrorism. In line with FATF standards, we will consider other responses as needed, the document stated. The pledge came amid a broader section on building an open and resilient financial system, which the document noted is crucial to support sustainable growth, stating, we will continue to monitor and, if necessary, tackle emerging risks and vulnerabilities in the financial system. And though through this continued regulatory and supervisory cooperation, address fragmentation. We look forward to continued progress on achieving resilient non-bank and financial intermediation. So, moreover, the statement said members will work to realize the potential benefits of applying technology to the financial sector as part of this push. The group's latest statement is a continuation of its ongoing look into the crypto space. G20 finance ministers announced they would be looking for specific regulations after calls from France, Germany, the US, and Japan this past March. While a document from July indicated that the group was eyeing an October deadline, after reviewing a document on AML standard for crypto, it is unclear whether they have done so yet. So this is really interesting. The G20 summit, obviously leaders of the top 20 countries are there. And it's almost funny that's 20, not 21, right? But they're there and they talk about different things, they discuss. And crypto has been something that's been coming up for a while. I think last year it was kind of mentioned at the prior summit. So this one was mentioned and they said they're working on it. So this could be interesting what they come out with. Obviously, as a force, they really have a lot of power when it comes to how this runs and operates. And I'm referring to crypto exchanges, where these exchanges are based. They have a lot of say over who operates and who doesn't, and who they, what the rules are with opening up a business and how they should operate. So it'd be interesting to see what the stance is on cryptocurrency and how aggressive or non-aggressive they're going to be. Are they going to be like, you know, this is against everything we stand for? Or are they going to see the potential and factors within this and the real applications that this can bring to the masses? So it'd be interesting to see where they are at on that one. And an exciting story here, we have the news that Thailand government trials blockchain in fight against tax fraud. So a government agency in Thailand is trialing blockchain technology as a means to track value-added tax, VAT, payments in the country. According to a report from the Bangkok Post on Monday, Thailand's revenue department is considering implementing blockchain to prevent fraudulent VAT refund claims in the country. VAT is a form of consumption tax levied on goods and services. So the director of general on the revenue department was quoted as saying that blockchain could help verify VAT invoices and in turn help eliminate any that were not genuine. The agency is also reportedly planning to tap other emerging technologies such as machine learning, artificial intelligence, and big data to prevent tax evasion and fraud. So this is great if they are able to actually execute this and have a really good team to help them with that. This could be great. They could be really leading the way in that sense, because a lot of these emerging countries are quicker to execute. They're quicker to make moves and decide what they are or not going to do. And the ones who will be using blockchain in a great use case will be really leading the way for the rest of the world, which is a very special thing to do. So with that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you as always for your time and your attention, which we value the most. Remember as always to hit us up on Telegram, SVK Crowd. Hit us up on Twitter at SVK_crypto. And if you have any further questions, feel free to email myself at cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I got to bounce.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.